The Moon at Full by Susan Barry by Ida Pollock. Part of the Romance by Ida Pollock Collection. Narrated by Christy Liembe. The Saga Egmont. Chapter 1. Steve wandered round the kitchen in the flat, and she knew that never in her life had her imagination been capable of conjuring up such a kitchen as this. It had everything. Pastel blue walls, primrose yellow fitments, masses of glittering chromium. The cupboards were stacked with primrose yellow china, and in the sitting room, would it be called the petit salon? A glass-fronted cabinet held a Sèvres dinner and coffee service. There was some lovely English Minton that was quite obviously intended to be used for afternoon tea, and the sideboard in the dining room groaned with silver. Exquisite, well-cared-for crested silver. Steve had devoted some time after her arrival to an attempt to decipher that crest. But it was strangely complicated, and her French wasn't in the first flight of perfection. She managed to make out a motto that sounded a little odd. Noir est le chevalier. Black is the knight. Et plus noir le cœur. And blacker is the heart. What an extraordinary precept for a family able to boast of a crest. And where did such a spun-gold, light-hearted creature as Leanne Daly pick it up? And all the other pieces of silver that were stamped with it? Leanne was French by birth, but she had married an Englishman, and so far as Steve knew, she was not in the least noble. Rather the contrary. She had admitted to climbing the hard way when Steve had had lunch with her in her flat. The distinctly bijou Chelsea one that was smothered with window boxes on the outside and filled with floral tributes from her latest admirer inside. Steve made a deliberate tour of the elegant Paris flat she had been loaned for a few weeks, or until she landed herself a job, and some more modest apartment where she could live. And she knew she was searching for some further evidence of the Black Knight's distinctive hallmark. And she found it, in the airing cupboard, where there were piles of exquisite linen all beautifully embroidered with his motif. And in the bedrooms, where the made-up beds had it attached to the corners of the sheets and pillowcases. In the spare bedroom there was even a set of handmade masculine brushes that bore the crest. And the graceful candelabra in the olive-green dining room had it indelibly printed on their base. Steve felt for a moment so bewildered that she felt a queer tinge like apprehension. These brushes in the spare bedroom sent all sorts of wild thoughts rushing through her mind. Surely Elaine. But Elaine, at the moment, was very much attached to an American who looked like stepping into the shoes of the deceased English husband. And, in any case, she wouldn't be quite so careless. But when, feeling a nervous constriction in her throat and a strange fluttering sensation at the base of her stomach, Steve summoned up the courage to fling open the doors of the wardrobes. Not only in the spare bedroom, but in the main bedroom as well, and found them full of masculine attire. She couldn't prevent herself uttering a gasp. She touched one of the suits gingerly, a dinner jacket made of superlatively fine cloth, and felt as if it burnt her fingers. Then she pulled out a tray of silk scarves and neckerchiefs, and was horrified because they all bore the crest. Things like shirts and socks and ties. They were all the property of the Black Chevalier. She told herself not to be upset.